It was a horrid little machine. I never could understand how I was supposed to move things around or open anything. I mean, even though I used it for years, I never used it well. And now that I have a Mac, I'm happier. The way the Mac works, it's so intuitive. The way it works seems like the way your brain is supposed to work. I get it, and I don't get the PC. I never did.
Best 30 plus minute album conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfan Elijah. Join me today. His wit and charm are almost as sharp as the blade he carries in his sock. You know, just in case some barmy bloke won't bugger off at the pub. A real chin wagger, this one. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Airfan.
I tried to work as many Britishisms into that as I could. How'd you like that?
They were terrible.
Or barmy? Barmy? That's one, right?
Yeah, like the barmy army.
I spent like 15 minutes on this Britishisms website today, I'll have you know, just looking up all these different British phrases that I've never heard before. There's some great ones on there. Like half the Austin Powers script is on this page. It's hilarious.
Oh, is that where you got it? Did you use a cheat sheet?
Yeah, well, I didn't have it up while I was doing the read, but I used them to weave some in. There's some good ones on there that I thought maybe wouldn't be appropriate to include on the show, but there's, I think half these Britishisms I've heard at least some point in the last, God, we've been doing this almost 8 years. Can you believe that?
Is it really?
8 years. Oh, my God. It's going to be 8 years in February. Can you believe that?
Terrifying. Don't tell me.
That's wild. A very special warm shout out to all of the, what should we call it? The Gov Club, the original cult cast listeners who've been here from the very beginning, which I can hardly believe. And I always say this, and people laugh when I'm being dead serious. I'm not sure if the show is getting better or worse. I'm really not sure.
You got no perspective. That's why. You should ask them, the Gov Club. What do they think?
We were so dry and NPR style at the beginning. And then at some point, I don't know when it happened, but at some point we just totally gave up. And then we just started being more ourselves. And for better or for worse, that's the way it's.
I saw some people when you know the anniversary of Steve Jobs' death. Someone said they went back and listened to that episode that we recorded afterwards. Did you go back and listen to that? Or?
I did not go back and listen to that episode, but that was one of our first. I think that was episode 39 or something.
What?
Alex E. Heath was on that episode. Huh. That's how long ago it was. Huh. You know that traitor before he left and went to sell women's shoes. And we haven't heard from him since, and that's a good thing. So,
well, I wonder whether we should go back and listen to it. I really don't want to listen to it. I don't like hearing myself.
You don't like hearing yourself?
No, hell no.
Oh, well, I'm used to it by now. I mean, I've edited, if I had to guess, 600 hours of our conversations. maybe 700 hours. Because, you know, people only ever hear the part that we release. But Leander and I, especially when we're just him and I, We take 40 minutes just to get going, you know, like we're like, okay, we should start. And then 40 minutes later, we're like, okay, we should actually start now. And there's all this conversation that gets trimmed off from the front and the back, which we've talked about. Maybe whipping up into something special for you guys. We'll see. I don't know. No promises. But actually, since we're already talking about it, just going to run something by the listeners here. How would you guys like to get an unedited stream? Unedited. Just us having the start of the conversation, the start of the cult cast. Well, I guess the start of the cult cast is middle of the show for us. So just the entire unedited conversation, like the Joe Rogan Experience, where we just log on, we start talking, and then we eventually meander into some Apple stuff. How would you like something like that?
It's that like sounds so compelling.
Doesn't it?
Meandering, and then we eventually get to some Apple stuff.
You know, in fact, we should change the podcast name to exactly that. We meander and then get into some Apple stuff. Might be too long.
Yeah, I think it's
for
a bit
the
long.
Analytics.
It doesn't really, you know, come off the tongue really easily.
Well, that's what the Joe Rogan Experience is. They just sit down and they just start talking, and he records it. And that's why you end up with a 5.5 hour Alex Jones podcast.
Yeah, right. Well, we should say that all the worst stuff that we talk about is at the beginning, at the end, right? It's completely un-PC, unfiltered. Even worse than this gibberish.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, some stuff.
But some of it's pretty funny. I mean, because like you said, that we, you know, some of the things are. There's some pretty funny discussions that aren't really I don't know. It's not always a good idea to put them out in public, right?
Exactly. Well, I'm not really sure, you know? And we've had some really hilarious conversations. Some of the best conversations we've ever had, I've been unable to air because I just wasn't sure. We try to keep it family friendly. And I know we don't always succeed, but that's what we try to do, you know?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I guess you've got an archive of this stuff, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a whole lot of dirt on L. Kitty.
Oh, God, L. Kitty. Yeah.
And if someone wants to throw a few thousand mile away, I could connect you with the entire back catalog. Seth, if you're listening,
right.
Seth from 9to5 Mac, if you're listening, I got exactly what you're looking for. So anyway, let us know if that's something you guys would enjoy. Hit me up on Twitter, ERFON at Airfon. Let me know. We're thinking about some ideas. You know, we're just spitballing here. Okay. We've already gone another 8 minutes. We still haven't talked about any Apple stuff. Let's see here. We got all sorts of Apple news this week. I don't even know if we're going to make it through all this stuff. And actually, it was kind of a slow week, but I dug deep. I dug into all the different websites. I dug on to Reddit. I mean, we got some good stuff on here that we're going to talk about. So before we do that, let me give a quick thank you. Oh, what's wrong? My mouse stopped working. That's so weird. Let me give a quick thank you to Belkin for supporting this episode. Life is full of choices, and Belkin offers a variety of tech solutions that keep you connected to your world so you never miss a beat. Between Belkin cables, screen protectors, and wireless charging docks, Belkin is the go-to brand for keeping your smartphone ready to go at any time. Check this out. Belkin cables are built to last a lifetime. They're supported with a 5-year warranty. So if you feel like you're constantly buying new chargers because they break or they burn out, and half the crap on Amazon, you know, is garbage and will break out or burn out in the first 6 months after you buy it, you should switch to Belkin. And with all of our personal information that's stored on them, you can also get a Belkin privacy screen to reclaim your privacy. These things are really cool. You've probably seen them before at like ATMs and banks. If you put a privacy screen on your phone, only you can see it. People from an angle can't see what's on your phone. So if you're like if you're on a flight or something on your phone looking at something, and there's like that nosy lady who keeps trying to look over your emails, she won't be able to see it because you have a screen protector on there. Plus, Belkin's wireless charging stands and docks work with multiple smartphones and prop your phone up so you can keep watching videos while charging. I'll tell you this, I've been using Belkin products for years, and I'm sure you guys are all probably familiar with Belkin products. I've spent my own money on them. Their cables are top-notch. Their docks are top-notch. Some of the best that are made. So if you're tired of cables breaking, your accessories not being built to the spec that you think that they should be built to, if you're ready for better performance, better durability, better quality, you can get better with Belkin. Go to Belkin.com and use the promo code CULTCAST at checkout for 30% off your order. This offer is good until the end of January. So go to Belkin.com, Belkin.com, and use code CULTCAST for 30% off. Okay, let's see here.
That's a good discount.
That's a great discount. 30% off?
Yeah, and this stuff is really good. I'm using one of their Apple Watch and iPhone chargers. It's great.
Which one are you using?
I can't remember what it's called. I don't, you know, I've had it for a while.
I need a new Apple Watch charger. I've been using the Apple charger, and I only have one. But it doesn't seem like something that you'd want to buy unless it's officially licensed by Apple, you know, because it's like proprietary technology.
I think it has to be, doesn't it? It's an old MiFi or whatever it is.
No, there's knockoff. There's knockoff stuff all over Amazon. Well, they always say built for or compatible with Apple Watch, but it's just some Chinese accessory that will, you know, cause your watch to swell and the battery to explode, right. You know?
Well, this is called the Powerhouse, charged up for Apple Watch and iPhone.
Powerhouse.
And it's got a lightning connector for the phone and, you know, the charger for the watch.
Nice.
It's good. It's really good. It's really nice, real small, works very well.
And the other thing I don't like about the Apple Watch charger is it's too short. I think it's 3 feet.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, it needs to be at least 6 feet, 3 meters for our European listeners. You know? 3 feet is nothing. Okay. The big news this week, I know many of you will be excited to hear this, the resurrection of the iPhone SE, the iPhone SE 2, is on the way, according to a very reliable source. I'm going to kick back. Leander is going to go full Caney and tell us all about the story. I can't wait. Hit it, Leander.
All right, so we're going to do a bit of backtracking here, and let's talk about the iPhone 6, which is not supported by Apple's newest iOS 13 update. This means that the iPhone 6 won't work with services like Apple Arcade and Apple TV, but Apple's got a plan to boost upgrades for their lowest-end phone. There's an upcoming device, and it's expected to look like the iPhone 8, and it'll be powered by Apple's new A13 Bionic chip. It's expected to cost less than $400 when it goes on sale in early 2020. I know, yeah, less than $400. That's crazy, isn't it? And brand new iPhone for less than $400.
Yes, with an A13.
Right, and looking like the iPhone 8, so
right,
pretty nice. Compelling. Yeah, and this is the new iPhone SE. It's going to be the second generation, so it's going to be called the iPhone SE 2, and it'll be the most affordable smartphone yet from Apple, according to the world's most reliable Apple analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo. And if it's coming from Ming-Chi, you know it's pretty good. So millions of iPhone Apple fans around the world still use the iPhone 6, which was released first in September 2014, and it still remains the best-selling iPhone to date. But it's obviously starting to get pretty long in the tooth. So recent rumors revealed the iPhone SE 2 will support the same design as the iPhone 8 with the same 4.7-inch Retina HD display. And it'll make it ideal for current iPhone 6 owners who don't want the bigger model. It'll be reportedly powered by the A13 Bionic chip and 3 gigabytes of RAM.
A13 Bionic chip? Is that a new Apple TV Plus series?
Yeah, it's a tiny little robotic chicken. It's yellow, fluffy, and
Oh, that's even better than what I was thinking.
Oh, what were you thinking?
I was thinking like a Wonder Woman type series,
but
a bionic chicken would be even better.
Got it. Like that was a bionic woman, wasn't there?
It was a bionic man.
But there was also a bionic woman, wasn't there?
Was there?
I think so, yeah. It came afterwards.
Those shows were kind of out of my era.
You know, he had a bionic arm and leg and eye, and she had ears.
Bionic ears. Out of all the parts that you could have be bionic, that would be the worst.
Well, she had
one.
Super hearing, you know, so she could hear everything. Oh.
Did you hear something?
Right.
Bad guy's coming.
Didn't he have a bionic ear too, though? The bionic man?
What was his name?
Steve Austin.
Steve Austin, the $6 million man.
Right. The $6 million man. That's it, yeah.
Bionic ears. Give me a break.
Do you remember
Sorry.
Anyway, I just thinking about the. Back to the story. So, 3 gigabytes of RAM. So this one would be compatible with iOS 13 and future updates for years to come. And it's going to come with 64 gigabytes or 128 gigabytes of storage. And the biggest selling point has got to be the price. It's going to cost just $399 when it goes on sale in the first quarter of 2020. So coming up real soon. And this is, like I said, from TF Securities analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, who is possibly the most reliable Apple seer on the planet.
I mean, maybe only second to Gene Munster.
Right.
Gene Munster, number one. Ming-Chi Kuo, number two. Is your safety at risk? It sounds like there's somebody getting in a vicious knife fight right outside your window.
I don't know what was going on.
Is there somebody with Tourette's out there?
Yeah, I think it was one of the residents of this lovely city having a psychotic episode. And
gotcha.
Was screaming outside the window.
He was projecting. It's very loud. Very, very powerful larynx. Sorry, Ming-Chi Kuo. Yeah, the only guy that ever gets anything right.
Yeah, right.
So it seems like this is probably going to come to fruition. $399 for an iPhone. $399 for an iPhone with the current technology. I mean, that was the thing about the original SE is it was a decent phone, but it was filled with old technology.
Yeah, right.
And if they're going to put the current technology into an iPhone SE for $400, that thing is going to sell like crazy.
Yeah, especially if it has things. No mention of Face ID, but do you think it'll have Face ID?
Yeah, I think it's going to get a Touch ID. Mm-hmm. Well, if it has a home button, right? Derp, it's going to have a Touch ID for sure. And they got to cut costs somewhere. You know, it's going to be $399.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you're one of the people that love the iPhone SE, I know there's some of you out there. It was like one of Buster's favorite phones. Rest in peace, Buster. One of his favorite phones, and it will be good news. Oh, okay. My Apple Watch decided to listen in on little blurb. That happens to me all the time. Does that happen to you? My Apple Watch is constantly interrupting me. It thinks I'm talking to it.
No.
Doesn't happen to you very often?
No, never.
Like, I would say probably five times a day.
Just like my wife and kids, it ignores me, so. It happens how many times a day?
I would say probably five times a day.
Huh.
Yeah, it's constantly interrupting me. And actually, it's either my HomePod or my Apple Watch. Think that I'm talking to it. And it's not just me. I'll be watching a YouTube video, and all of a sudden, my HomePod just starts talking to me. It thinks that I've asked it something.
Huh. Sounds like you've got the settings are way too sensitive. It's
maybe, or the NSA is just, they think that I've got something
going on
that
right.
can help them. Yeah. So there could be that. So let's move on. I just want to mention this briefly because I thought this was really pretty cool for people that are fans of the camera app and who's not a fan of the camera app in iOS 13. So there are some new features, long-awaited features, I would say, coming to the camera app. They were just discovered in a new beta version of the camera app in iOS 13.2. And that is that the camera app will allow video shooters to adjust frame rates and resolution without going into the settings app. I don't know why it's taken Apple this long to add these features. Maybe they're just busy and weren't able to get to it, but the camera app is a pretty important app. I don't know why it took them this long to get around to this, but it's going to be really nice. You'll be able to just tap on the resolution, and you can change the resolution from 720p to 1080p to 4K. And you obviously can't be recording when you do this. You need to do it before you hit the record button. And the camera app will also let you change the frame rates before you start recording from 24 frames to 30 frames to 60 frames, which makes it so convenient. I would probably use these frame rates and maybe the resolutions. I'm not sure about the resolutions, but the frame rates for sure, if Apple would let me adjust them on the fly. And actually, if you notice, you can do that with HDR now in the camera app. There's an HDR button that you can tap to turn HDR on and off.
When I was reading about this, I was like, this makes my head hurt, all these different options you have. And it just, uh-huh. Complicates it, the whole process. And one of the things I quite like about smartphones iPhone photography and video recording in general it's so much simpler than it used to be when you had a camcorder, right? I mean, it's like, it's literally point and shoot. You don't have to think about it at all.
Right.
And these are the kind of things you have to sometimes kind of fiddle around with on camcorders and cameras like that.
Yeah.
You were asking why Apple didn't add these controls, and I don't know, because it makes it a lot more complicated, doesn't it? There's all these different things to think about, which are good for people who are confident with making these adjustments. But I think for a lot of people like me, it's just, you just want to point it and shoot and not think about this kind of stuff at all. Like frame rates, like why I honestly don't know why you'd want to change a frame rate. But you're a videographer,
well,
right? So
huh?
Yeah,
you know something about this.
Yeah, so, well, frame rates people adjust for a multitude of reasons, but one of the prime reasons is because 24 frames per second is what Hollywood uses to record movies. There's something about that specific frame rate that makes your videos look more cinematic, more fictitious, if you will. It kind of adds like a dreamy element to them. 30 adds a little bit more realism to your footage, and then 60 frames per second is often what people use when they want to create some kind of like slow motion, or if they want to record something that's moving very quickly, since there's mm-hmm. more frames mm-hmm. taken mm-hmm. sometimes it looks more clear.
Okay.
But also you can slow 60 frames a second down to a slower frame rate, and it will play back in a kind of slow motion, right? Mm. So there's a lot more frames crammed in there.
Got it.
I do get your point. There's all this stuff in the camera app now. I'm looking at it right now. There's the flash icon. There's the HDR icon. There's the live photos icon. There's all the zoom ranges now. And actually, if you have your camera app open and you slide up on the portion that is displaying your picture, you'll see a whole new menu of stuff that you can access. You can change the aspect ratio. You can add filters, you could turn on the timer. So there's all sorts of stuff buried in the camera app now. And you're right, I bet a lot of people don't know what half this stuff is.
Right.
So it just makes the camera more confusing, but it also makes it more powerful.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure.
So it depends on what you're going for, but I'm definitely happy they added all this stuff in, and I welcome all that stuff to be added just because it makes using the camera app faster without having to dive into the settings. And if you don't want to touch this stuff, you don't have to.
You don't have to, right, exactly. Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
which is kind of nice that they buried some of this stuff in there. So if you didn't know about that swipe up gesture to adjust those extra settings in the camera app, you would never even know they were there unless you did it by accident. And you'd be really confused. You'd be like, what is all this stuff? What is all this stuff, Junior? You're going to help me figure out how to take a photo. Okay, so there are the iOS 13.2 camera changes. Let's move on to Apple TV Plus. And I know some of you are interested in Apple TV Plus, some of you are not, but I think that this news is interesting. And if you're not interested in Apple TV Plus, you may become interested after I tell you how to get some more information on some of the shows. I think part of the problem that Apple has had is they are not communicating very effectively on what shows are coming out and when. I think people could probably name off maybe one or two shows that they heard about in the keynotes, but what about the rest of the shows? Well, Apple has finally built a website that will educate you on exactly what shows are coming and when. But before we talk about that, I wanted to mention an interesting tidbit. Apple TV Plus is coming to Roku next month. So Roku revealed this week that Apple TV app will be made available on its platform. Oh, starting this week, actually. Allowing users to access their iTunes video library as well as subscribe to Apple TV channels right through their Roku devices. That's interesting. Even though Apple and Roku compete against each other making streaming devices for TVs, Apple has embraced third-party platforms for its own streaming service. In addition to putting the Apple TV app on Roku, you'll also be able to get it on smart TVs made by Samsung, LG, and Vizio, which is very cool. I would love to have a smart TV with Apple TV built in. Do you find it interesting, Leander, or any commentary on the fact that Apple is pursuing other hardware makers to host its Apple TV content?
Yeah, it's unusual, isn't it? You know, it they don't do this a lot. I guess, you know, iTunes maybe, I guess, is the biggest example. Right. Going to Windows and stuff like that. But it's cool. It's good news, I think, for the platform. And they're not using it. You know, they used to use these kind of things to sell hardware, to try and encourage people to get Apple TVs. Right. But it makes sense, I think, to have them on, you know, especially built into the TVs themselves. And because they'd just be shooting themselves in the foot if they didn't do this. You know, every time someone bought a new TV, they had to go out and get an Apple, get some hardware to get these services. I think it's a tough sell. It's going to be a lot easier if you just have to download an app onto a new, you know, if you buy a new Samsung TV or if you already have a Roku box.
Exactly. It's interesting that they are courting other hardware manufacturers to host their software and work their software into that hardware. And I think it's a smart way to go, because if they're not going to be ubiquitous, Apple TV is going to fail. There's no way it's going to be successful if they just sell it to Apple TV subscribers. Right. It needs to be accessible to, well, let me rephrase that. There's no way it's going to be successful if they only allow you to view Apple TV content on an Apple made device. It has to be accessible on other platforms, right? On TVs and stuff. So it's really cool. I just wish they would pursue the same strategy on the HomePod. I don't think the HomePod is doing as well as it probably could if they would open up the HomePod to other apps, Spotify, other music streaming services. Well, I guess the only other one is Tidal, which I'm shocked is still around. But add some more third-party integrations with the HomePod. That's one of the reasons why the Amazon products are succeeding, is because they put Alexa in everything. And they allow anyone to integrate with the Alexa. You can go into the Alexa app on your iPhone and you can change the default music app to Spotify so that when you're ready to play music, it just plays music.
I changed it to Apple Music, funny enough. Yeah.
You did? I did. Okay. Oh, so Apple Music works on it too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Alexa, you can, like you said, you specify which service you want to use. Yeah.
I wish they would do that with HomePod, because HomePod is such a great product. It really is. But they've shot themselves in the foot by limiting who has access to the hardware and
well,
can't you specify?
You can say, Spotify now, right? We're using Siri, so you can say, "Hey Siri, play blah blah blah." But then you have to add at the end on Spotify.
Yes. They literally just added that. We talked about that last week, which is great. That was
a
welcome change for sure.
That's opening it up a bit.
Yeah, I just hope that they'll allow you to switch the default music app to Spotify so that you don't have to say, you know, play with Spotify after every sentence. Yeah. Because with my Alexa, I don't have to say that. It just knows. Not to mention the Alexa. Man, little tangent here. The Echo is an unbelievable product. I mean, this thing, it understands my kids. I don't even understand my kids half the time. And the Echo, the little squeaky kid voices, it knows what they're saying. My daughter can control all the lights in the house. She can lock and unlock the doors.
Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
Doesn't she go crazy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Especially when the Echo doesn't understand me. And then my whole family starts chiming in. My kids are trying to tell it what to do. My wife's trying to tell it what to do. And we're all talking. And I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop. I'm like, shut up. We're all talking to it at the same time. Everyone just be quiet. Just let me tell it what I'm trying to tell it.
So
quit trying to direct it for me. You know, man, it drives me crazy.
What about you sitting there eating dinner and then suddenly all the lights go on and off and the kids are like, Alexa, turn off the lights.
Or I put on a song and my daughter doesn't like it, so she tries to get it to change songs and then it changes songs. Or, I mean,
we have that battle now. The kids don't even listen to a song for more than about 15 seconds. They say, "Hey Alexa, play this," and then they go, and then about 50, you know, before the first verse comes up, they already command it to play another song.
Oh man, are their attention spans that
really
bad?
We're doomed.
We're doomed. I thought my attention span was bad. I paid out, I don't know, $150 for this device probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it still works great. They keep improving it, and the speech recognition on the Echo is the best that there is, as far as I've seen. There's just nothing that's better. That thing can hear me whisper from across the room, and it gets it right probably 90% of the time. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, I digress. So you want to know about Apple TV shows. I got you. Here we go. Okay, thanks for being patient. Apple just launched a website that details all of its upcoming Apple TV shows. Now, technically, the site is actually supposed to be for journalists. So if you go on there, you can actually see all the press contacts for the people for these specific shows, which is pretty cool because I thought normally Apple tried to hide all their press contacts because they don't want journalists actually contacting them unless you're like Neil Patel or something. But they're all just right on there. So you can shoot the press contacts an email and just tell them, you know, that you're excited for the show. And maybe even Tim Cook will respond because he monitors all those emails personally. The site is dubbed Apple TV Plus Press. And it includes details about 15 shows that will launch soon for the video streaming service. The initial offerings will debut November 1st. And I forgot to mention there are also trailers and images and lists of the cast and crews for all the different shows, which is pretty cool. And you can just go on there and peruse. I thought it was funny, though. None of the actual videos are hosted by Apple. If you click on a trailer, it takes you to YouTube, which I thought was hilarious. It just kind of shows that maybe Apple was a little unprepared to launch this site and just had to get it up as quick as possible.
Huh.
Or maybe that was intentional. I don't know. But all the videos are hosted on YouTube. The show that I thought looked the most interesting, still, I've said this like 5 times, is still that Jason Momoa show, C. Which, I...
You think that's the most interesting show?
It looks like the most interesting one so far. And even saying that, I'm like, I was watching the trailer and there were some parts that I cringed a little bit because it felt a little contrived. And the plot of C is a little too similar to the plot of Willow, the movie Willow. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, Willow. No.
Matt Mardigan.
We used to make fun of it, though, when I was at college because it was completely ridiculous.
How dare you? That's one of the finest films ever made. If you've never seen Willow, go see it. I'll just say that. It's a wonderful movie. Some of Hollywood's finest cinema. And anyway, the plot of Willow is there is like, well, how do I describe this? I'm trying not to give too much away. There is a baby born that the people of the world of Willow must protect because the baby is like an omen of things to come. And that's like literally the plot of C. This baby is born with sight. There's this evil queen who decides that the baby must be destroyed, and then the villagers are tasked with protecting the baby so that the evil queen can't have all her soldiers kill the baby. That's literally the plot of Willow.
Is that Val Kilmer in that?
Yeah, one of Val Kilmer's greatest roles, but there's one role that he did that was better than that one. and it's called Tombstone, Doc Holliday and Tombstone.
Yeah, yeah, right. He was great in that. That fantastic. Was a great one. Yeah, totally fantastic.
But other than that, I think that...
You don't think For All Mankind looks good?
I'll have to watch the trailer for that one again.
It's a space one. That seems to be getting the most buzz.
That's a space one?
Yeah.
There's almost no space movies that I don't like.
Right.
I'm such a huge science fiction guy. Yeah. You know, like my dream is to be.
Well, you like Snoopy and
a Vulcan
Snoopy
in the world
space,
of Star Trek.
Then. That's one of their other shows.
What's it called?
Snoopy in Space.
Is it like actual Snoopy? Snoopy the dog.
Yeah.
Now you know that was a Tim Cook pet project that had to. Doesn't he just look like the type of guy who would love Snoopy?
He probably grew up on Snoopy. Yeah.
He probably did.
Yeah. Probably
yeah.
Snoopy.
I can't believe Snoopy is still around. That franchise is ancient, and I don't know anyone that watches Snoopy. How is it still around?
Have they had any new Snoopy content recently?
They had a Snoopy movie that came out somewhat recently, I think.
I mean, I used to watch Charlie Brown when I was a kid. Good God, that's so long ago.
That was 140 years ago.
Before TVs were invented, yeah.
He used to have to flip the book, you know, with the little animations going. Yeah, I don't know who watches Snoopy. It's kind of like the Three Stooges, right? It just kind of feels like it ran its course and that it's over with. They had their run and...
and now it's done, yeah.
Next show is going to be like a show by Groucho Marx on Apple TV. You know, Tim Cook's reliving all his childhood classics. He's got Oprah, he's got Snoopy, he's got Groucho Marx.
Right. Well, that's what everyone's complaining about, wasn't it? It was like a little bit of the old...
old guard.
Too much old guard here.
Yeah, lots of old guard. So anyway, if you want to check out all these Apple TV Plus trailers and shows, I will link to the Cult of Mac story in the notes, and you can go on there and just watch them. And hey, why not, right? You're going to get Apple TV Plus for free. Because they're basically giving it away to... Well, they are giving it away to anyone who bought an Apple hardware, an Apple device. Everything except the Apple Watch, I believe. If you purchase literally anything else, you're going to get Apple TV Plus for free for a whole year. And I would be surprised if it wasn't longer. I think they're going to be giving this away for at least 2 years, possibly even three. Because they got to get people on board. They got to compete with Netflix. And they got to build up their library. They're going to need time to do that. So it doesn't make sense to try to start charging people when you don't have any content. And speaking of content, Disney Plus is also launching pretty soon. And I don't know if I mentioned this. I got this deal on it. They were giving away this crazy deal where if you bought it ahead of time, they would give you 3 years of Disney Plus for like $4.25 a month. So I purchased it.
Huh.
So I'll be talking about that once it launches because...
When's it coming?
That's going to have November 12th, I think, is
so
when that officially launches.
Month.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, the offering... I don't know exactly what content they're going to give you. That's, of course, going to be an important feature of the service. But the fact that they give you... They allow you to stream 4K content on up to four different devices at the same time and you can have up to seven different user accounts is wild. That's better features than practically any other video streaming service that I've seen. It might be the best that I've seen. So if they add some compelling content on there, that's going to be a pretty compelling service.
Okay.
What's that?
Well, I would have thought the content was more important than the number of devices you can stream it on. That's the make or break. But they've already said they're going to have thousands of shows and hundreds of movies, right? So
yeah.
It's going to be...
I guess I just kind of presume it's going to be good. It's going to be all Disney's content. It's going to be Star Wars. It's going to be Marvel. Now, the thing that I don't know is how much of their premium content are they actually going to give you? Because I heard somebody talking about this yesterday. He was going through the Marvel movies that are going to be available at launch, and it's not even going to be all of them. So I'm like, what the heck? If you're charging people for a streaming service for access to your premium content, but you're not going to give them your premium content, like if Disney is thinking that they're going to give you access to their old content, but still expect you to buy their DVDs and Blu-rays, even though you're paying them to stream their content, they got another thing coming to them. That's not going to work.
I was just looking it up, but let's see whether the Charlie Brown show was on Disney or not. I can't immediately figure it out though.
I doubt it. I don't think it's anywhere, but Apple TV Plus. That's literally the only place it's going to be.
It'd be funny if that was the thing that people were it was a big blockbuster hit and people were tuning in for.
That's the big hit, and Tim Cook's going to be patting himself on the back. I knew it, y'all! He got another one right. Who am I to argue with Tim Cook? I mean, guy is worth like almost $1 billion. Okay, last story I wanted to talk about. This was an interesting development in the world of streaming content. I can do it in my movie voice. Do you want to hear it? Actually, sometimes I think I could be like a movie streaming voice guy. In the world of streaming content, AMC Theaters will launch its own service for renting and buying digital films. How was that?
Pretty convincing.
Pretty good?
Yeah, not bad.
Huh?
Not bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
Thanks. If I warmed it up...
You've got a new career ahead of you when this podcasting thing...
when this podcast goes south, which, let's be honest, it could be any day.
It's way overdue already.
Oh my, yeah, no kidding. Well, that's the thing. I kind of feel like once you get to 8 years, you're just set for life. You don't even have to put out compelling content anymore, right? People would just listen because they've been listening for so long. It's like, what else are they going to do? Right? Right?
I guess.
Let's hope that's true. Otherwise, we're doomed. So AMC Theaters is going to launch its own service for renting and buying digital films. I know what you're thinking. Why are we talking about this? Trust me, there's a hook. There's a hook coming. Just wait. Okay? Be patient. Payoff comes at the end, I promise. AMC Theaters, the largest movie theater chain in the U.S., is launching an on-demand video service. This comes from this Verge article I'm reading from. According to the New York Times, the service will let customers rent or buy movies much in the same way Apple's iTunes Store and Amazon's Prime Video have operated for years. AMC Theaters On Demand is what it's going to be called. It will launch this week. By the time you've heard this, it may have already launched. As an online store with approximately 2,000 films available, with new releases to be added after a standard theatrical run. They've already signed on studios like Disney, Warner Brothers, Universal, Sony Pictures, and Paramount. So all the major players, right? To sell and rent movies, both new releases and older titles, once their theater run has ended. Each film will cost between $3 and $6 to rent and $10 and $20 to purchase. Okay, so far, not exciting at all, right? This is just like...
It's like, yeah, you know, what is...
It's like iTunes.
Like every other streaming service, right?
Exactly. There's a ton of services out there that will sell you movies. Here's why this is really interesting. I have been on the fence, on the cusp of buying AMC's Stubbs movie service for probably 2 months now. I just haven't pulled the trigger yet because I haven't had enough time to take advantage of it. But AMC Stubbs Movie Service is a movie pass-like subscription service, and it's actually quite popular. They said they have like 750,000 subscribers now. You pay them a flat fee of $20 a month, or depending on where you live, it varies between 20 and like 24. And you can see up to 3 movies a week, and you can see any movie format you want. So IMAX, 3D, 4D, 5D, 60, whatever nonsense they come out with next. You can go see any movie you want up to 3 times a week. And this is the part about it that I think is a huge feature of the service, because no other service let you do this. You can actually book your tickets in the app itself with no fees. So you can just go in there and go book your seat. And when you get to the theater, your ticket will be waiting for you, right? So really hyper convenient. It looks like AMC is making big moves into this space, and the way it's sounding is, and the reason I'm phrasing it this way is because there's not a lot of information around this yet. We're going to have to flesh this out, but AMC is going to give you access, on-demand access to a movie in their streaming service once you've seen it in their theaters, right? How crazy would that be? So, for instance, more than 6 million tickets were sold for Disney's The Lion King through the Stubbs program. Those people, this is from the Times, those people will all get a personalized message from AMC saying they can now enjoy that movie at home through AMC Theaters On Demand once the movie is digitally released, so not while it's in theaters.
Yeah, and you can't go home and watch it again immediately. That's unfortunate.
That would be really cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, so you got to wait, 6 weeks after it goes to the airlines and...
Yeah,
pay-per-view.
How, and, yeah, is that how long it takes now for a movie to hit?
No, I just made that
the rental
up,
but, market 6 weeks. I think it's something like that. It's not very
it
long.
It seems like that. Well, it depends on the movie, doesn't it? Some are released real quick. I mean, you know, Xfinity, Comcast here. You know, you can rent or buy movies that are in, you know, quote unquote in theaters right now. But
they're not the ones you'd actually want to see, right?
But it is kind of changing though, isn't it? I mean, look at what Netflix, you know, is doing. I mean, they're bringing the movie times, you know, their release schedules are much closer. Like the new Irishman movie that's coming out, the new Scorsese movie is going to be, I think, in theaters, but then on Netflix very shortly afterwards.
Which is great because once it's out of theaters, people want to start watching that content right away. They can also piggyback on all the marketing they did and right off the hype. I wanted to see the new Avengers movie right after I saw it the first time. I didn't go back and see it again, but if that movie were given to me to stream on demand as soon as that movie was out of theaters, that would be a huge perk. And I think it's one that could change the game and allow AMC to move into the movie streaming market in a really dominant way.
Right.
Because if you're going to pay them,
there's
going to
be some catch, though, right? Oh, well, first of all, you have to join their loyalty program. Yeah,
you have to join their program, and I don't think it's just their loyalty program. I think you have to join. Well, actually, maybe it might just be through their loyalty program. If you went and actually paid for a movie ticket and it weren't part of their Stubbs service, I don't know. See, we need more details. We don't know exactly how it's going to work, but either way, that's a pretty powerful feature. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I think that's it. You know, it would, like you said. I mean, people go see a movie at the movie theaters, and then it's like, oh, I want to see that movie again. They're not going to re-rent it on another service or buy it on another service if they can get it for free on this AMC thing. So
exactly, I'd be happy if they just gave you a free rental of that movie after the fact, so you could rent it once after you've seen it in the movie theater. Even that would be cool, just tying it into the movie experience that you already saw.
You know what they're doing here, though? I just realized that there's gonna be a lot of data collection, isn't there? How are they gonna tell? How are they gonna you'd have to obviously tie, they're gonna have to, you know, they have to know what you go see at the movie theaters, don't they? So they'll be using their loyalty program. Because wasn't that the whole premise of what was that service, MoviePass? You know, that was the idea, wasn't it? It was like, you know, to give studios more information about what people wanted to see from the studios.
That's what they said, but they had a musical chairs business strategy going on there, right? I mean, they had 100 different strategies to profitability, and that was one of them talking about, you know. And at one point they're talking about selling sweatshirts. They were all over the place. That's why sadly they're not.
But I guess, as you know, there's a hunger for this kind of data gathering and people's intentions and stuff like that. So
they're definitely going to sell it. I mean, that's the whole point of the loyalty program anyway, right? They're selling your data. They're making money off your data.
I wonder if there'll be advertising involved as well. You know, like, do you think they'll be ad free these movies when you get the same again?
Oh, I hope so. I've never heard of a movie service showing you movies with ads, but I mean, I guess Hulu does it, right? And actually, so does YouTube. You can watch movies for free now on YouTube, free with ad movies. So they'll take like a selection of older movies, and then you can watch them as long as you're willing to watch the ads, which is pretty interesting. Although I wonder how that works if you have an ad blocker, because if you have an ad blocker, you will literally never see an ad on YouTube, which is surprising that more people don't use ad blockers.
Yes.
But apparently a lot of people don't use them.
Yeah. I don't use one.
Or don't know how to.
Being in the publishing business that relies on ads.
I guess you do it for principle, right? You're like, I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I use one sometimes, but when you're bombarded with ads, especially with some content, they'll show you an ad like every minute or two. It's, come on, guys.
Right, it's too much.
Give me an ad every 10 minutes or something. I can understand that, but you know, I just want great content and I don't want to pay for it. Is that too much to ask, Leander? I mean, I'm entitled to it. They owe it to me. They owe it to me to make that content and just give it to me for free. How dare they? How dare they demand that I am inconvenienced in any possible way?
Yeah. I know. This Hollywood elites.
I'm getting mad. We got to wrap it up there. I'm so mad now that I can't even continue to do this show because I'm just so angry. But we're out of content anyway, so we should just go ahead and wrap it up there. How about you, Sam?
Okay, let's do it.
You're ready, I can tell. We've been out of steam for 20 minutes.
20 minutes? I said more like 40.
Let's go. had to wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi to us on Twitter there, we would love to hear from you. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Leander is at L. Caney. This has been the cult cast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I wonder if you could even do the intro. Do you think you could even do the intro if I needed you to do it?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard it so many times, but it's like, I think I garbled it. I think we were doing it jokingly when you were around one time, and I couldn't remember it. It's just kind of embarrassing.
Sometimes I can't even remember it.
Right. That's even more embarrassing.
that's actually very embarrassing.
Well, that's, hydrochloric acid.
But right? You can test it without buying anything. You just have to get yourself some apple cider vinegar.
Okay, cool. We've got some at home. My son buys it, you know, he buys, every couple of days, he buys a huge bottle of it and he chugs it with turmeric.
What?
He's drinking this stuff. I don't know. The kid's fucking, you know, he's weird supplements.
Oh, really? And he does that
kick
on his own?
Yeah, well, from the grocery store he's working at.
Oh, okay. He goes and buys a big thing of apple cider.
Yeah, and he makes these really disgusting concoctions, like of coconut water, apple cider vinegar, turmeric, saffron.
He's going the full
some
Monty.
Other fucking weird shit, and it's completely and utterly inedible. It's just gross. But he just forces it down. And then he does these crazy workouts, like in the kitchen on the floor. He's fucking 6'5", right? So he's gigantic.
Is he just yoked?
And yeah, he does these crazy, like he's doing these bicycle kicks and then these, sit-ups and all kinds of like, he was just lying on the floor for 20 minutes. I was just watching him while I was eating my dinner. Do these horrible exercises.
Your son's on the floor just sweating and you're just sitting there eating French fries one by one watching him.
I was going, come on, Alan, give us a willy. What's that? Yelling at him, which didn't really help much. But he was actually
hanging over.
Yeah. And then there's a plank and he's like, and he's fucking incredibly strong.
Wow. Well, what is he, 20?
Yeah. We got this kind of wrestling match. And you know what it's like when you're the dad? Well, you won't get this with your daughters, but, you know, the dad has to win, right? Because you got to set your dominance over the kid.
You got to show him dad strength, yeah.
Right.
You got to show him who the real alpha is. So, absolutely. I do that with my daughters, too. You kidding me? Yeah.
Well, we were wrestling, and he was really beating me, right? And I was just not compete with the kid at all. So I kicked him in the nuts. And then, of course, he got really pissed off, but it reasserted my dominance. And he hasn't done it since. So, good God, are you okay?